And warm greetings to our listeners of Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Kids Program. My name is Israel Kim. Welcome back to Heart and Soul Gospel Ministries Children's Program. This hour we have the program, Let's Read the Bible, which will help us to learn God's Word while we are reading it. And we have a daily devotional program for teenagers called Unlock. The next program is Children's Bible Drama. This will help us to understand more people from the Bible. And last but not least, my favorite program, Daily Devotional, will let us think about how we should live as a Christian in this world. Let's start with Let's Read the Bible.
Hello everyone, my name is Yuna Kang. I am the host of this program, Let's Read the Bible. As we were talking about the first part of Romans chapter 7 last time, we discussed how God's law is not bad, but good and righteous, something that helps us understand our sins and help us feel the need for God's grace. In the last part of Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul explains in more detail about what we see before the law. Romans chapter 7, verse 7 explains that before the law explained what sin is, we didn't know what sin was. Now that we know the law, we are aware of what sin is. However, even though we know what sin is, can we live without sinning at all? When you are in a situation that makes you sin, can you stop by saying, "Oh, because the law says that this is a sin, I should not do this?" Unfortunately, this is not the case. We sinned during the time when we did not know what sin was. However, even after knowing what sin is, nothing has changed and we still sin. Even if I try to stop sinning, I can't control myself. For those of us who are like this, Romans chapter 7, verse 14 states, "We know that the law is holy, but I am not. I have been sold to be a slave of sin." Although we know the holy law, we can't live according to the law by ourselves. This is because we have been sold to be slaves of sin. Then, the book of Romans explains this unfortunate situation. "I know there is nothing good in my desires controlled by sin. I want to do what is good, but I can't. I don't do the good things I want to do. I keep on doing the evil things I don't want to do." Then, what should we do? If we are unable to do what is good and continue to do evil things even after knowing what sin is through the law, aren't we just suffering? In fact, wouldn't it be nice to go back to the days when you did not know what sin is? In addition, for those of us who are tormented by these thoughts, Romans chapter 7 verses 24 says, "What a terrible failure I am. Who will save me from this sin that brings death to my body?" That's right, we are terrible failures. Although we know what sin is, we can't fix ourselves or go away from it even if we want to, which makes us miserable. For people like us, is there any hope? Next time when we discuss Romans chapter 8, I hope that you can find the answer to this question. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to reflect on ourselves because we can't become righteous on our own. Please help us to understand that we need your help. I hope that we will be able to seek your guidance. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, let's read the Bible. Today, Ben Park from Arizona will read the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 13 through 25 from NIRV. I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you will join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Hello, my name is Ben Park. I'm 11 years old, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Today, I'm going to read Romans chapter 7, verses 13 through 25. Let's read the Bible. "Did what is good cause me to die? Not at all. Sin had to be recognized for what it really is. So he used what is good to bring about my death. Because of the commandment, sin became totally sinful. We know that the law is holy, but I am not. I have been sold to be a slave of sin. I don't understand what I do. I don't do what I want to do. Instead, I do what I hate to do. I do what I don't want to do. So I agree that the law is good. As it is, I am no longer the one who does these things. It is sin living in me that does them. I know there is nothing good in my desires controlled by sin. I want to do what is good, but I can't. I don't do the good things I want to do. I keep on doing the evil things I don't want to do. I do what I don't want to do, but I am not really the one who is doing it. It is sin living in me that does it. Here is the law I find working in me. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Deep inside me, I find joy in God's law. But I see another law working in me. It fights against the law of my mind. It makes me a prisoner of the law of sin. That law controls me. What a terrible failure I am. Who will save me from the sin that brings death to my body? I give thanks to God who saves me. He saves me through Jesus Christ our Lord. He saves me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in my mind, I am a slave to God's law. But sin controls my desires. So I am a slave to the law of sin. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, the years 2020 and 2021 has been tough. COVID-19 has spread all over the world, making people sick and die. Please protect us all from the dangers of the world, and please stop COVID from spreading further. Lastly, I hope that all people can believe in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Is a devotional program for teens called Unlocked. You can recommend this program to your older brothers and sisters. There will be two episodes each week. Here's the first episode.
How can you lovingly share the gospel with those who don't know Jesus? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. Christians throughout time have come up against some serious persecution for their faith. Today's devotion is the story of a woman that faced persecution back around 200 AD, and it's a fascinating story. This account of it was written by Elana Canfield and is called The Story of Perpetua. "Do you see this vase here?" she asked. "Could it be called by any other name than what it is?" "No," her father replied. "Well, neither can I be called anything other than what I am, a Christian." Perpetua, a devoted follower of Christ, uttered these words in the year 203 AD, mere days before she was asked to recant her faith, the faith she would eventually die for. When Perpetua was brought before the governor, she refused to deny Christ or offer the required sacrifice to the emperor. As a result, she was sentenced to death in the arena. While awaiting her punishment in her prison cell, she was allowed to nurse her infant. Her father, who did not know Jesus, begged her to renounce her faith for the sake of her child, but she would not. Only days later, Perpetua and a group of other brave Christians were led into the stadium and attacked by wild beast in front of a roaring crowd. Though they didn't die from their wounds, the faithful group was later killed by the sword. This account of Perpetua's and her friends' uncommon bravery inspired me. I can't imagine the terror this young woman faced, and yet she stood firm in her faith, never backing down, though the consequence of such a decision was death. What gave Perpetua such courage? Where did her confidence come from? Perpetua was aware of and comforted by God's presence. Though she was undoubtedly afraid, Perpetua stood on the promises of God. It wasn't Perpetua's determination or confidence in herself that carried her through her last days, but her confidence in her God. She knew that He is stronger even than death. Jesus defeated death by His own death and resurrection. Although death is a heartbreaking result of brokenness in the world, we don't have to be afraid of it, because we know that Jesus will return to resurrect us from the dead to live eternally with Him. If you ever find yourself in a difficult situation, remember that Jesus is always with you, and His promises will always stand firm. So let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Sharing the gospel begins with understanding that you need the gospel, and then understanding that others do too. How can you lovingly share the gospel with those who don't know Jesus? As you and I can read in Romans 8:34, "Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us." Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Daniel chapter 3, especially verses 1 through 30, as well as John 14:27, as well as Romans chapter 8, verses 34 through 39, to help keep God's Word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries, and we would encourage you to check out our new verse picks. We took this quarter's artwork, along with the Bible verse from the same devotion, and created an image you can download for free. You can set it as the wallpaper on your lock screen on your phone, share it with friends, or even on social media. To find them, just look in the Unlocked app or at unlocked.org. Now, be sure to check back tomorrow, because you and I are going to be looking at grieving in hope. But until then, I'm Andrew Stevens, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Here's the second episode of Unlocked.
How can you use the opportunities and skills God's given you to share the gospel of Jesus with those around you? Hey there, I'm Andrew Stevens, and this is Unlocked, your daily key to unlocking God's Word in your life. I'm going to have to admit, when I first read the title of today's devotion, I couldn't help but think about mashed tater tots. That has absolutely nothing to do with this piece written by Jeff Waddell, though, called A Great Name from Church History, Mesrop Mashed Tots. Christians understand the incredible life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His death and resurrection bring each believer new life. This is truly good news. How far would you go to share this news with people who didn't know it, though? While reading about church history, I came across one of the greatest names of all time. Mesrop Mashtots. I believe it is impossible to improve upon this name. Not only did Mr. Mashtots have a cool name, he did incredible things to share the gospel. Mashtots wanted to translate the Bible into the Armenian language. Only one problem. There was no alphabet, so there was no written Armenian language to work with. But this didn't stop Mashtots. He traveled around Armenia, paying attention to the common sounds of their language. He hired a calligrapher to link Greek letters to the sounds and developed a 36-letter Armenian alphabet. Alphabetizing the language didn't solve the problem, though, because nobody could read it. So, get this, Mashtots persuaded the government to establish an Armenian school system to teach everyone how to read this new alphabet. In order to give the Armenians a Bible, Mashtots invented their alphabet, began a school system, and then gave them a Bible in their own language. I find all this to be absolutely incredible. How is there no international Mashtots holiday? We could sit around playing games with invented alphabets and eat tater tots. Today, Armenia still credits Mashtots for making the nation literate. He didn't stop there, though. He went on to create the Albanian and Georgian alphabets as well. And no, that has nothing to do with the state of Georgia in the U.S. Truly, this man knew the awesomeness of the gospel and was consumed with a desire to share it. So, let's talk about this. What are some questions going through your mind right now? Even if God doesn't call you to work in Bible translation or international missions, you can still spread the gospel by living faithfully wherever He puts you. Maybe you'll contribute through science, construction, stay-at-home parenting, food service, ministry, healthcare, office work, or something else. All of these are part of God's kingdom. Where has God placed you? How can you use the opportunities and skills He's given you to share the gospel of Jesus with those around you? As you and I can read in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, "And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." Now, I'd encourage you to read in your Bible Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, as well as Romans chapter 10, 14 through 17, including that verse we just read there, to help keep God's word alive in your life. Unlocked is a service of Keys for Kids Ministries. Do you have younger siblings that might enjoy something like Unlocked, but geared just for them? If so, check out our Keys for Kids devotionals at keysforkids.org. Now, be sure to check back tomorrow, because you and I are going to be looking at Standing in the Gap. But until then, I'm Andrew Stevens, encouraging you to live life unlocked, opening the door to God in your life.
Coming up next, children's Bible drama.
Hello everyone, it's June from the Judges version of children's Bible drama. Abimelech received help from his mother's relative who were Shechem people and paid money to buy men who could fight well. He took the aggressive men with him to Ophrah, where his father's house was.
Since you have received enough money, be sure to do as I say. If you do well, I will greatly reward you after I become king.
Just tell us your command. We will get the job done.
I have 70 half-brothers. My father Gideon has died and I don't want them to become king. Today, I will kill all of them and I want you to help me.
Of course.
Abimelech and his men arrived in Ophrah and they captured 70 of Gideon's sons.
Come back. Don't try to flee.
Why are you doing this?
Hurry and bow down before Abimelech, your king.
What? Abimelech?
Gideon's sons were shocked when they found that their half-brother Abimelech was capturing them.
Ha ha, why are you so shocked? Ha ha, until now, you have looked down upon me and my mother and brought sorrow. Do you think you could get away with that? Ha ha, today my sorrow will end. Men, go and kill them immediately.
Following Abimelech's command, the men began to kill the 70 sons one by one. It was a terrible day as the sound of screaming was heard all over the town of Ophrah. Among Gideon's 70 sons, the youngest son Jotham found a chance to flee.
Go get him!
The men chased after Jotham, but they couldn't capture him.
You lost Jotham? I have a bad feeling about this. Well, he's only one out of 70, so I'm sure nothing will happen.
After killing Gideon's sons, Abimelech returned to Shechem. The people of Shechem welcomed Abimelech.
Oh, Abimelech, now you can become the true king of this region. Hurry and come here. We will make you our king.
The Shechem people, the people of Milo who lived in that region, and several tribes gathered and made Abimelech king before the god they served.
Long live the king!
Long live the king!
Long live the king!
Abimelech killed his father's sons and became king just as he wanted. Will his life be peaceful? What will God do about Abimelech and the Shechem people's wicked act? I'll see you next time from the Judges version of children's Bible drama. Goodbye.
did you know there are 2.2 billion kids all around the world? Each one of them needs to hear about Jesus, don't you think? You can introduce the Heart and Soul app to your friends so they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and accept Him as their Savior.
Following is a program, Daily Devotional, provided by Keys for Kids Ministries. Every week, we'll listen to Monday through Friday's Daily Devotionals. I hope you can listen to one devotional a day during the week. Now, it's time for Monday's Daily Devotional.
I know Jesus wants us to love our enemies, but what does that have to do with Zacchaeus? What did he do?
Zacchaeus stole from many people, and everyone thought he was a traitor. Welcome to Keys for Kids. I'm so glad you're joining me today. As always, I'm Zach. You know, before Jesus was born, the Roman Empire conquered Israel and made the Jews pay heavy taxes, and they got Jewish people to collect those taxes. The rest of the people thought tax collectors were thieves and traitors, like Zacchaeus. But Jesus still loved Zacchaeus, despite all the bad things he had done, and he wants you to love everyone too, even when they're not very lovable. In Mark chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus said, "To love your neighbor as yourself," meaning everyone in your life, not just the people who live next door. Well, our story is all about that. It's entitled, "Jesus Loves Everyone, and You Should Too." "Hi, Mom," exclaimed Riley as she placed her backpack on the kitchen counter. "Hi, Riley. How was your first day of Bible camp?" Mom asked as she cut carrots and put them in the stew she was making. "It was great. We swam in the lake, went down the small water slide, and ziplined. After that, we had Bible class." "That sounds like fun," said Mom. "What did you learn about in Bible class?" "Well," said Riley, "one of the counselors taught us about a man in the Bible named Zacchaeus, and how Jesus wanted to go to his house even though Zacchaeus had done many bad things. He also talked about how Jesus loves everyone, and that's why we should love others, even our enemies." Riley frowned. "I don't really understand what that has to do with Zacchaeus, though. Anyway, we learned a new Bible verse, Mark 12:31. It goes like this, 'Love your neighbor as yourself.'" "That verse you learned tells us how to love others like God does," Mom explained. "It doesn't say love your best friend or only love your family. The Bible says to love everyone, even our enemies, because Jesus loves each of us the way he loved Zacchaeus. You see, Zacchaeus was a tax collector who collected money from the citizens for the government. Nobody liked him because in Jesus' day, tax collectors took as much money as they wanted for themselves most of the time. He was a thief in the eyes of the people." "But Jesus forgave him?" asked Riley. Mom nodded. "Even though Zacchaeus was a sinner, Jesus loved him, and he even wanted to eat lunch at Zacchaeus' house. And even though we've sinned, Jesus loves us and wants to have a relationship with us too. That's why he tells us to show love and compassion to our neighbors, because he loved us when we were sinners like Zacchaeus." "Wow, I never thought of it that way," Riley said as she started helping Mom with the celery. "Jesus wanting to eat with Zacchaeus shows how much he loves all of us," she grinned. "Speaking of eating, that stew smells good." So what about you? Do you find it hard to love some people? Maybe it's the new kid at school or an older sibling who picks on you. No matter who your neighbors are, remember that Jesus loves everyone. He shows each one of us kindness and compassion even though we've all sinned against him. Trust him to help you love others, even when it's hard. Our key verse is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 31.
"Love your neighbor as yourself."
And our key thought, love everyone no matter what. I'm Zach. Thanks for listening to Keys for Kids.
This is the time for Tuesday's Daily Devotional.
Our baby cousin is so cute and so small. I can't wait till he gets bigger and I can play with him.
Be patient and remember it takes time for babies to grow up. It's the same with baby Christians. Guess what? You're listening to the one and only Keys for Kids, a great way to grow your faith in God. As always, my name is Zach. When my brother was little, I couldn't wait for him to grow up more so we could play together. It took some time before he was big enough to play some sports with me. It's just the same when someone accepts Jesus into their life. They're just a baby Christian, and they need time to learn and grow to be more like Christ. Actually, we're all still growing, just like 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Our story today is entitled, Listen, Learn, and Grow. "How soon will Ryan be able to play ball with me?" Lucas asked as he got in the car after visiting his new baby cousin. "He's really little." "He's bigger than my dolls, though," observed Lucas' younger sister, Grace. Dad laughed. "It will be a while before Ryan will be able to throw a ball around. We need to be patient with babies and give them time to grow." "Did you know it takes human babies longer than almost any animal to grow up?" Mom asked as they headed home. "For example, colts can run just a few hours after they're born." "And remember the puppies Ginger had last year?" added Dad. "Puppies are old enough to leave their mother when they're only 6 or 8 weeks old." Mom nodded. "Human babies need their parents much longer." "I'm glad I can play ball already," said Lucas. "But you're not all grown up," Grace told him. "You need to get lots bigger." "Did you know that baby Christians also need time to grow?" Dad asked. "What's a baby Christian?" asked Grace. "Well, a baby is someone who was recently born, and Jesus said we need to be born again," Dad replied. "That means trusting him to save us and make us new people. So when you trusted Jesus to save you last year, Grace, you were born again. You became a baby Christian, just like Ryan is a baby person." "Am I a grown-up Christian now?" Lucas asked. "Not yet," replied Dad. "You still need people like me and your mom to teach you about Jesus and what he says in the Bible and to guide you in how to live for him. In fact, even when we became mature Christians, we still keep growing. As we learn more about Jesus through his word and see him working in us and in the lives of others, we grow our relationship with him. Kind of like how Grandpa knows more about trains than anyone because he's worked on them and studied them for so long, but he's always wanting to learn more about them, right?" asked Lucas. "Exactly," said Dad. "Even when we become mature Christians, God is still helping us grow to be more and more like Jesus." Well, how about you? Are you a growing Christian? Do you know more about Jesus now than you did when you were first saved? Do you love him more and desire to follow him in all you do? You wouldn't want to be a baby human all your life, and you don't want to stay a baby Christian either. Keep getting to know Jesus better as you walk with him through life and trust him to help you grow. Our key verse is found in 2 Peter 3:18.
"Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ."
And our key thought for today, be a growing Christian. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Here's Wednesday's daily devotional.
"I don't want my brother to come to vacation Bible school with me. He's just annoying me and my friends."
You should bring him because he needs to hear about Jesus too. My name is Zach and you're tuned in to Keys for Kids. Thanks for listening today. When Jesus went looking for disciples, he found a young man named Andrew. Andrew knew that Jesus was the true Messiah, so after he became a disciple, the first thing he did was get his brother Simon Peter to follow Jesus too. He did that because he loved his brother. Do you have family members that don't know Jesus yet? If so, you can help them get to know Jesus by inviting them to church, sharing the Bible with them, and treating them like Jesus would. Who knows, maybe one day they'll become Christians too. Our story today is called, Like Andrew and Peter. Zeb slipped into a seat and waited eagerly for vacation Bible school to begin. He'd become a Christian a few months earlier after his friend Travis had invited him to church, and he'd been looking forward to this special week-long program. He liked the songs and the games, and he looked forward to hearing the story the teacher would tell. Song time was good as usual, and then Mrs. Jackson got up to give the lesson. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus' disciples, the men he called to be with him while he was teaching here on earth, she began. One of them is Andrew. And who do you think was the first person Andrew brought to Jesus? Several children raised their hands. His best friend, Zeb guessed. Or maybe some people who lived near him, suggested Travis. Mrs. Jackson smiled. I'm sure Andrew told many of his friends and neighbors about Jesus, and we certainly should do that too. But let's not forget there might be people in our own homes who need Jesus. The very first person Andrew brought to Jesus was his brother, Peter. Zeb squirmed and looked at the floor. His younger brother, John, had wanted to come along to vacation Bible school, but Zeb wouldn't let him. I don't want you tagging along with me and my friends, Zeb had told him. The next morning, Zeb shook his brother awake. It's time for vacation Bible school. Do you want to go? John's face lit up and he nodded and quickly got dressed. As Mrs. Jackson gave the lesson that day, she explained that everyone has sinned and only Jesus can wash sin away. John fidgeted and whispered something to his brother. Zeb nodded, and after the kids were dismissed, he took John up front. Mrs. Jackson, my brother isn't a Christian, but he wants to become one. Can you tell him again how to do that? I sure can, said Mrs. Jackson. As Zeb and John walked home, John looked up at his brother. Can I go to vacation Bible school with you again tomorrow? Sure, Zeb replied. From now on, we're going to follow Jesus together, just like Andrew and Peter did. At John's puzzled look, Zeb grinned. They're two of Jesus' disciples the Bible talks about. I'll tell you about them. So what about you? Do you have relatives who don't know Jesus as their Savior? Have you invited them to church? Have you told them Jesus loves them and wants to save them from their sins? If you know Jesus, you should do all you can to bring others to Him. And a good place to start is in your own home. Our key verses today, John 1, verses 41 and 42.
He, Andrew, first found his own brother summoned Peter, and he brought him to Jesus.
And our key thought for the day, bring family members to Jesus. I'm Zach. Thanks for joining me on Keys for Kids.
Coming up next is Thursday's Daily Devotional.
Ada is so stuck up. She just ignores me all the time. She only acts nice when she needs help with homework.
If she's rude most of the time, does that make it okay for you to be mean right back? Guess what? You're listening to Keys for Kids, and my name is Zach. I'm so glad that you're tuned in today. We'll get started. When someone is mean to you, you naturally want to hurt the other person right back. But if you're a Christian, Jesus wants you to show love instead. He showed you love through his words in the Bible and through his actions when he died on the cross. And now he wants you to show that kind of love to everyone in your life, even when it's hard. The Apostle Paul describes it like this in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, love is patient and kind. Love is not rude, it is not selfish, and it does not remember wrongs done against it. Our story today is called Chocolate Without Sugar. Ada totally ignored me at our class party, Ellie told her friend Kayla. What a snob! Yeah, said Kayla. Lots of times she doesn't speak to me either, unless she wants help with math or something. She's so two-faced. But who needs Miss Stuck Up anyway? Kayla glanced at the clock. Oh, it's getting late. I better go. After Kayla left, Ellie went to the kitchen. Are you making brownies? She asked her mom. Yes, I am, Mom answered as she measured sugar. Yum! Ellie picked up a spoon that still held a bit of chocolate and stuck it in her mouth before Mom could stop her. Oh, yuck! Ellie groaned and made a face. This tastes awful! Mom, what's wrong with this chocolate? There's nothing wrong with it, but it's unsweetened chocolate. It doesn't have sugar in it, Mom explained. I was going to warn you, but it was too late. Thoughtfully, she added, I couldn't help overhearing your conversation with Kayla. It was something like that chocolate. What do you mean? Ellie asked in surprise. Well, chocolate without sugar is bitter, isn't it? Things we say can be bitter too, and it seems to me the things the two of you said were just that, bitter with no sweetness at all. But all we said is that Ada is stuck up, and she is. We're not mean to her. We're always helping her with her homework and stuff. That may be, but your words don't match your actions, and we can't show others love through one but not the other. Both our words and our actions need to be filled with kindness and compassion to show others the love of Jesus. Ada may not be perfect, but neither are you. Yet Jesus shows you love through both his words and his actions. The Bible speaks of his love for us, and he showed it to us by dying for our sins so we could be saved. Ellie sighed. But Ada didn't even hear us. I'm glad of that. But the Bible says our words should benefit those who listen. I heard what you said, and I didn't find any of it beneficial. Chocolate needs to be sweetened to taste good, and our actions and words need to be sweetened too, sweetened with love. Well, how about you? Are the words you speak sweetened with love, or are they filled with bitterness? It's not enough to be patient and helpful when someone asks for something, but then talk about them behind their back. The Bible tells us to show love through both our words and our actions. So use your words to build others up and benefit those who hear them. Our key verse is found in the New Testament letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 29.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, that it may benefit those who listen.
And our key thought today, do everything with love. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Next is Friday's Daily Devotional.
I can't believe Brinley embarrassed me. I only agreed to sing along with her because she talked me into it.
She didn't mean to embarrass you. She just got stage fright and couldn't sing. Hi, I'm Zach. Have you ever had something super embarrassing happen to you? If so, stick around for our story right here on Keys for Kids. I've certainly been embarrassed by a friend before. Maybe it wasn't in front of a whole crowd of people, but it's bad enough to be embarrassed even in front of a few friends. Have you ever had that happen to you? If so, Jesus wants you to forgive your friend in that situation, not because you feel like it, but because he forgave you of so much more. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Our story today is called The Silent Stranger. Feeling her shoes pinch her feet, Shavonda looked out at the auditorium. She'd never felt more relieved to finish singing a song. She'd also never felt angrier. It was Children's Day at church, which meant that all the children had been specially involved in the service. Shavonda's friend, Brinley, had invited her to sing a duet for the occasion. "I'm not so sure," Shavonda had told her. "Please," Brinley begged. "We can do it together." Brinley's enthusiasm won Shavonda over, and she agreed. After a few hours of practicing, both girls felt prepared. When it came time to perform at the church service, though, Brinley's stage fright left her silent. Shavonda was startled, but she kept singing all the way to the end. What had begun as a duet ended as a solo. The congregation clapped, and the girls took their seats with other kids who'd already performed, but for Shavonda, it wasn't over. After the service ended, Shavonda stormed outside. On the way to the parking lot, her grandmother stopped her. "You did a wonderful job today, Shavonda," Granny declared. Then she noticed Shavonda's expression. "What's wrong, honey?" she asked. "I didn't even want to sing that song until Brinley talked me into it. Then she didn't even sing. She left me up there looking silly. She knows I don't like singing in front of a crowd," Shavonda fumed. You didn't look silly. You made a joyful noise to the Lord, but I understand why you're upset. Sometimes people let us down, Shivanda. I think Brinley probably disappointed herself, too. Shivanda looked confused. You think so? She asked. Granny nodded. I know how much Brinley likes singing. She probably feels bad, Shivanda said. Granny smiled. You sang about God's love today, honey. We have that love in our hearts because of what Jesus has done for us. We can show it by being compassionate and by forgiving others when they let us down. Shivanda noticed Brinley walking toward her. She still felt embarrassed about the performance, but she also cared about her friend. Brinley! Shivanda called, ready to comfort her friend with a hug. So how about you? Has someone done something that hurt or embarrassed you? Sometimes friends and loved ones let us down even without meaning to. Did you find it hard to forgive? Remembering that Jesus is always compassionate to us can help us to be kind to others even when they disappoint us. We can forgive others when we consider how much God has forgiven us. So trust Him to help you show others forgiveness and compassion too. Our key verse is Ephesians 4:32.
Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you.
And our key thought today, forgive with compassion. I'm Zach with Keys for Kids.
Have fun listening to our program today? I hope that you'd read the Bible often to learn more about Jesus' teachings, pray to Jesus, and praise Jesus often throughout this whole week. Until then, see you next week. Bye!